Well, hello. Another week, another movie. Welcome to Rainbow Flickers over the Crimson Screen. And today's a very special episode. It's our holiday episode. It's not one movie, but two movies we're going to be talking about. As usual, I'm with Anthony. Hello, Anthony.
Yes, it's that wonderful time of year again. So, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Winter Solstice. Whatever you celebrate, now's the time for it.
And happy food. Great food. Friends, food, weather, blankets, mince pie, and all the shebang. So, yeah, so we decided okay, today
you went a little Hallmark on me there, so I had to kind of zone out. So.
Well, I'm trying, sir. I'm trying to be a bit Hallmark from time to time. Yeah. Good sometimes. Wait to see the... Wait to see the Valentine's Day episode. Anyway, so yes, we've decided to actually look at two movies. So one movie is a French movie, and the other one is animation from the US. And we just want to actually see if these movies are good viewing for this period, really. So the first movie we're going to be talking about, it's a movie with a very interesting past and actually an interesting story that linked it with one of the maybe one of the best Christmas movie of the 90s. So we're going to be talking about 36-15 Code Père Noël, okay. Which been area code Santa Claus. You can find it in the US as Debbie Games, I believe.
Yeah, and on Shudder, it's actually called that, but it says AKA then the Santa Claus title.
So, okay, well, so it's a movie from 1989. It's a low budget thriller taking place during the holidays.
Okay.
So let's talk about what the movie is all about. It's on Christmas Eve, a resourceful young boy has to defend himself and his grandfather from a killer dressed up as Santa Claus. It's a very funny movie because I remember seeing it when I was a kid, and it terrified me. That movie really terrified me as a kid, and I forgot about it until maybe 6 or 7 months ago, when we were actually talking about a Christmas movie made in France with some colleague of mine. So I just said, why not talking about this one? And I was actually surprised that you had it on Shudder, because I don't believe it's easy to see it in France, despite the fact it's a French movie. It's pretty weird. You're more likely to be able to see it in the US than actually in France.
Well, yeah, apparently it is a cult classic over here. It had a lot of positive ratings on Shudder too. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a five star, but certainly there's a certain nerdy feel to that movie. So it's from 1989, and it's pretty much about this kid who live in this mansion with his granddad and his mother, this giant mansion.
Yeah, his mother that owns, what, a toy company?
The mother owned a toy company or a big supermarket and decide to do what we call nocturne, which is a late night opening of the place for Christmas. So the little kid is along with his granddad. His granddad can't see properly. He's diabetic. He's frail. So we just see that night, that's a fateful night where Santa Claus decides to come to by the chimney. And, he's not that really nice, really. So yeah. What did you see watching it?
Well, I mean, because he said that his friend didn't think Santa Claus was real, then his mother had to explain to him, Santa Claus is real, but because your friend was naughty, basically, that's why his parents had to buy him gifts. And the kid's like, oh, that makes sense.
It is, which is funny because you see that kid is a genius and actually he's just sibling Santa Claus, which is pretty cute. It's pretty cute. And so when you watch that movie, what did you think of it, really?
Well, I went in thinking, oh, this is going to be a cheesy thriller, and it turned out to be, I guess to describe it to people, it would be a mix-up of Home Alone and Die Hard.
It is, yeah, Home Alone and Die Hard, which is funny story you mentioned Home Alone, because Home Alone actually is linked to that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, there was this big scandal that this movie, so Dangerous Games, were released in 1989 in France. And Home Alone was released in 1990 in the US.
Okay.
And John Hughes actually said in some interviews that he had the idea for Home Alone when he was on holiday in France. And it became very clear that John Hughes seen that movie in a Cannes festival when it was shown in that that film market, and pretty much stole the idea of this kid just using toys to create traps against actually an intruder.
Okay, but when I hear you say that, I'm thinking 1989 and 1990, how long does it take to make a movie? Because Home Alone came out in 1990 and that one came out in 1989, so...
It came out in cinema in 1989, but it actually was made in 1988 and was shown early. So basically, it's been 2 years. And it's just to give you an example, maybe it corroborated the stories, but thanks to that movie, for some reason, the director of that movie actually ended up working from Steven Spielberg. Because they didn't want the scandal, actually, I've been told they stole a part of the movie from France.
Okay.
So it's a pretty interesting story. Do we actually... do I believe it? Kind of. I actually see the similarities, despite the fact that this movie is much more dark than actually Home Alone. It's less cartoonish. But, you know...
Yeah, keep the change, you filthy animal.
But yeah, it's a fun movie. It's a bit cheesy. Well, like you said, like you saw it with the cheesy 80s. I'm sorry, there was a lot of cheese from the 80s on there.
Well, I mean, to be fair, both our movies today are pretty cheesy. So.
On this one, with the anti-Rambo. Because pretty much a guy is obsessed with Rambo.
He was obsessed with action movies in general. I was like, okay. I mean, I was too at that age, so.
So, let's talk about what's happening in the movie. So, we've got this little kid. A little kid played by actually the son of the director of the movie. Who is living, as I said to... early on in this mansion, this giant mansion that for some reason he was allowed to make traps in. That was one thing I couldn't understand, that the mother would allow him to actually put traps in the building like this, but he was allowed to for some reason, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I got yelled at for just making a fort out of the couch cushion, so.
For him, he actually make holes in the floor. And he actually having secret passages pretty much everywhere. So his friend Sweater is really shown as a genius. A genius that actually still believes in Santa Claus. It's Christmas Eve.
We all need what you want to do. We all need a little magic in our lives. So.
I know. And what you want to do, you just want to actually see Santa Claus. Despite the fact that he was told that if you actually see Santa Claus on the night of actually Christmas, Santa Claus can start to become an ogre and actually want to actually trap the kids who've been seeing him doing his round. Did you cut that one?
Oh, what, you could hear that?
Yeah. Or maybe it's a French stuff. I think maybe it's a French... it could be a French, French myth as well. I don't know. But in the story, they actually said that, which is makes sense as a kid to actually see that evil Santa Claus trying to actually do awful stuff to his family because he actually seen him doing his round.
Oh, you know, this kid. And you forgot to mention that he was also using, what was it, like the first internet?
Yeah. So, one thing you see in the movie is actually the Minitel. But the Minitel was actually a bit of the ancestor of the internet that was pretty big in France and some European countries. Before you had the internet, we had the Minitel, which is which was a bit like the internet in some ways, but worse in other way. But you could actually like contact people, buy groceries. You could actually check your train journey, train track, buy tickets and everything else via that system, which was a little screen with a keyboard, like a computer that you were connecting to your telephone line, and you were reaching the service by using the code 3615, and then you were just typing what you wanted to actually look for. And that's the reason why the name of actually the film is 3615 Père Noël.
Okay, and then he was talking to Santa Claus on it. That was fun.
Yeah, there was a big big thing about the Minitel. There was a lot of messagery, like a messenger thing on there. It was the early messenger thing when you could actually like talking to people, send messages to people, and everything else. You could have both as well. So if you were typing, you know, like in all Avant movie, we're typing a sentence and actually the bot will just recognize some words and actually reply to you accordingly. There was a lot of stuff like this as well. And in France, the 3615 was very well known for sex places. You could actually go to sex chat. So yeah.
Wow, Francis, you guys are just over there living in Blade Runner. I love it.
But you actually see a Minitel twice. You see the Minitel in his home when he's actually talking to Santa Claus with his friend, and you see also about the guy looking at the Minitel inside the train station. That was actually a weird thing that was possible to do. You could use a Minitel at a train station by putting money in like a telephone box.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. The funny stuff is, they actually tried to release it in the US, but the US phone company kind of fucked it over by just asking a huge amount of money as a fee every time he wanted to use it. So he never caught on in the US, unfortunately. But he was actually, it was available like in the 90s in France. It's actually pretty insane because it was a big thing at the time, but at the same time, it kind of slowed down the usage of the internet in France because people already got used to the Minitel and were using it instead of the internet. So it was kind of a dark thing about it as well.
Okay. I was like, man, now I wish I could give it a try, I guess. But
I did try it. It was slow as fuck.
So was it expensive?
It was expensive, yeah, to use. The number 3615 was actually premium numbers. It was pretty expensive. Like, my parents had it in at home, and we were not allowed to use it because it would be premium numbers. So yeah. You know, as a gay man, you couldn't actually use the Minitel because they could actually see every services that was actually used on the phone bill. So yeah.
Okay, well, I just thinking about that, I didn't have that experience up until AOL was making those free discs. So basically, to get the internet for free, I would go to Walmart or any of the stores. They all had those AOL, try AOL for free. Mm-hmm. And so you would just go put them in your computer, the disk or the floppy drive, because at one point they had a floppy drive. And you would just connect it to the, you know, the phone line and dial up. So I had like maybe 30 usernames because I kept getting free trials.
Well, it was not working that way near because you didn't have a username. You actually had you were plugging it onto your phone, so you couldn't get free trials whatsoever. And it was really bulky. The Minitel was really, really bulky and very heavy as well. So let's talk about the villain of the tale, at Santa Claus. What did you think of this villain?
He seemed pretty one-dimensional to me.
In which way?
I just saw him as a bad guy. I didn't really think anything else of it.
Did you feel that he was a bit like a kid?
Not really. Maybe really? I missed that.
When he killed, when he actually catch the kid, and he said to the kid, basically, it's my turn not to hide.
Okay, well, maybe the subtitles are wrong. I mean, the dude did kill the dog, so...
Yeah, that was a pretty tough watch.
Poor RJ.
But that I did find that killer pretty scary in some ways, because he was relentless. He was really relentless through the entire movie. He reminded me a bit of Terminator in some way, because he kept coming back all the time.
Okay, but I guess I must have missed this. I don't know. Maybe it was a bad translation, but why was he attacking that house?
Well, he was actually, at the beginning of the movie, you see him playing with kids, and he seems to be very interesting with kids. So now,
yeah,
is he, a sex offender? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe just a nadir with the kids in his head. But he become actually, he start to work for the company of the mother as Santa Claus, and he got sacked. And when you actually go to HR, that's why I hear that actually that the mother actually done an order for Christmas for her son, so he decided to actually follow the order and run his house.
Now I remember that actually.
So it does actually make sense why he's there. A lot of the stuff are really like a lot of this movie. Kind of got fairy tales rules to it.
I mean, it seemed like one big dream at one point.
I agree. I totally agree with you. The entire sequence actually in the place when there's all the toys from all the ancestors.
Yeah.
It's one of the... I was like, no, that's not possible.
I was just like, am I stoned or what?
No, I know. It felt like a fairy tale in some way, like a dark fairy tale at times. It doesn't help that the actor played the kids. He's not a really good actor.
And Grandpa's over there giving me Willy Wonka vibes.
I agree. Well, a good thing to know is that the actor playing the kids, playing Thomas, actually now was doing all the special effects for Batman, the new Batman, and Avatar, and all these big movies. So yeah, he stopped acting, and he's now a supervisor of special effects.
So, yeah, I love that journey for him. Yeah,
I know. Certainly, he does a better job than actually acting. Oops, sorry, Thomas.
Hey.
Sorry, but it's true.
But you have to say it the French way. It's like Thomas, right?
Thomas. Je suis désolé, Alain. Thomas, je suis désolé.
Okay, there you go. There's your free French lesson.
I'm available in order if you need me to actually give you some lessons, but... it will cost you a subscription. Okay. We can guess this question the way we can, you know, just doing my best.
Wow.
Feliz Christmas. So that movie is pretty much, the entire movie is about these kids who are actually trying to save his grandpa while being stalked by a killer dressed up as Santa Claus. That's pretty much it. That's a synopsis of the movie, really.
The elaborate traps. At some points, I thought, I was like, okay, well, I guess this is it. He's caught him. So, end of the movie. And like you said, he just kept coming back like the Terminator.
I know. He does. And I did, there's a couple of scenes that actually pretty, I did find pretty tense. The scene with, the toy train, for example, that was so fucking tense.
All right, you can't forget him walking out on like the ledge with his dead dog screaming for his mother. I was like, okay, this is dark.
It is really dark. And the answer as well, there's some images like The reason why I said this comes kind of a fairy tale vibe to it is like at one point he's trying to find his mom office, because his mom office seems to be the only place when there's a phone working, and he found himself in a maze full of paintings, and the camera just pulled back and you just see these eyes on the floor and this maze when he starts trying to find the exit to actually find his mom actually office. And you're just like, yeah, no, that can't be possible. But it was cool. It was a cool image.
Yeah, that's why I was like, you told me it wasn't horror. And I agree. It felt more like a thriller but slash a fantasy.
Yeah, for me, I would call it a dark fantasy thriller. I don't see it as horror at all, because pretty much what there is one scene, the dead dog is actually one thing which is a bit tough to watch, but there's nothing else really like
that would consider
horror.
And what's the body count in the movie? Like four if you count the dog, right?
Yeah, four if you count the dog, yeah. And the dog is actually the one that actually got the more gruesome death, if you think about it.
He was just trying to protect his human.
I don't know. But this movie certainly was screaming 80s all along. And, it was a good, it's a good watch. It's fun. It's fun. It's interesting to watch at least once. It's scream 80s. It's scream French 80s. From the beginning of the movie, when you see the kids wearing what the kids are wearing, and just, oh, fucking, I don't remember that.
Yeah. did you have that haircut like him?
I had, I know. The mullet. The mullet was a big thing in 89.
Oh, here too. So,
I know.
Oh, and it's made a comeback, so.
Oh, I know. No, thank you. It was kind of enjoyable, and is it actually worth a 5-star? I don't think so. So what do you think personally? What would you give? What is, do you think, the strength of that movie, and what is what doesn't work for you in that movie?
That's a good question. Maybe even one of the best questions I've heard.
Thank you.
All right, one second. We might have to repeat that. I hit my my mic. Okay.
Yeah. So what do you see? Well, we're just going to do two goes. So first question, what do you think is the strength of that movie?
The strength, the fantasy part of it, the part that kind of captures your imagination, because you realize you're not really watching basically some children's movie where it's just, you know, a cheap little thrill. No shade to Home Alone. People are on the problem like, he's throwing shade to Home Alone. No, but I'm just saying. It definitely had layers to it, I guess, and that worked for it.
What would you think doesn't work?
What didn't work for me? I found the grandfather annoying. And I don't really think not a lot worked for it, because I feel like it's doing its own thing, so it just worked. I would say I get why the grandfather was there, but he could have done with a little less screen time, in my opinion.
Well, he was in the coma for a quarter of the movie, so you're lucky.
What happened to the dad?
The dad died.
Okay, because I was like, okay,
he's not really mentioned, but he's died, and we see that the mother kind of have something with the accountant. I don't know why in the 80s they always have actually a love story between a president of a company and the accountant, which is weird. This is what happened in that movie too.
But can we also talk about how they're just killing off parents in all these old movies? Like, even now, I think it's like the mom is the widow, or the father is the widow. I was like, how many times do we need a dead parent story?
To be honest, I actually I did fine in that movie. At first, when I first I watched it, I didn't watch it for a very long time, so I watched it again. I kind of forget quite a lot of that movie. And I was just thinking, oh, okay, so at the end of the movie, Thomas gonna accept the accountant as the new father or something. But nothing like this happened. He actually, the best acting there was from that kid was actually at the end when actually he shoot the Santa Claus, and actually he's completely shot next to the Christmas tree. But the parents were there, but actually they were not important in the story in some ways.
They weren't. This was just a kid that wanted to protect his grandfather, his toys, and his home.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, the way, what I think worked was the story was original. It was something like, if you think about it, it's the first time we saw that. When you look at the time when it was released, it was pretty original. The kid was a badass, let's be honest. The kid was a fucking badass.
I mean, that's what watching all those action movies. See, watching action movies are good for you. See,
mm-hmm. So this worked for me. I did find that the Santa Claus character was very creepy. Really, really creepy. What didn't work for me? Sometimes the music was so cheesy. Some of the music, just recognizing the fucking music from Rambo, but they actually just checked a couple of notes not to make it different.
Didn't they have like a Fleetwood Mac song in there too?
Good question. I can't remember that.
Because I think towards the end, I was like, is that Stevie Nicks?
It could be. The funny stuff is, the entire movie is a family affair because you've got the director, writer of the movie, his son is actually the kid, and then actually the person doing the music is actually another part of the family. So there's just kind of a family affair. The Lalanne family. All the French people who listen to us, they know the Lalanne family. They have become the joke of the jokes today because of one of the Lalanne, which is completely bonkers singer. I'm going to send some stuff to you to see what I'm talking about. It's insane. I think there was some good premise, but I did find that some of the scenes were pretty weird. The scene in the car, it was kind of tense, but at the same time, I didn't understand why they were staying in the car all the fucking time. Why they couldn't fucking leave. You know? So
We gotta get them in a tense situation. We don't care how, just get them in there.
And so, for me, it was a lot of the idea of those secret passages that was a bit weird to me as well, because a secret passage in the fridge.
Well, yeah. Hey, I mean, those of you that have been to Meow Wolf, that is not unheard of, because you can go through the refrigerators in Meow Wolf.
Yeah, but
you can also go
theme park. So.
Yeah, it's technically, it's not a theme park. It is a interactive art experience.
Okay. Yes, we're supposed to go there next time. I forgot.
But yeah, there's a house. They change it all the time, so it might even still be there. But yeah, there's a old farmhouse where you go in, and there's a big mystery going on. Basically, like you walk by the table starts shaking, and you start discovering like all these hidden pathways, like in the washing machine and the refrigerator. And it's a really fun experience if you're ever in Santa Fe or Las Vegas or Denver. They have one in Denver now. Definitely go. Oh,
okay. Well, so, I need to choose one of these places next time. Then I want to see.
So, David, how many crystals would you give this?
I would give it a 5. I can't possibly give it more than a 5. It's, for me, it's kind of a... It's a movie. It's okay. The movie is okay. But is it a movie I would watch for Christmas? It might not be a Christmas movie. There is a settings in Christmas, but is it really a Christmas movie? Not sure. What about you?
I'm gonna give it 4. I mean, it's a fun watch, but I don't really think it's more than that.
No, I agree with you. I agree. I don't understand why people give it a 5, because certainly not a 5. For me, it's too flow to be a 5 out of 5. Sorry.
Okay, so do you want to go to the next? Okay, well, now we're here to my movie. Oh, I chose a doozy.
Oh, Lord, yes, you have.
And to be honest, when you said Christmas theme, I was like, what Christmas movie can I do? And then I remembered this one, and I was like, let's do a Hanukkah movie.
I wish you hadn't.
And for those Americans out there, you probably know what I'm talking about, since actually there's not that many Hanukkah holiday movies, surprisingly.
Fuck for that.
Wow, okay.
Now, if actually the Hanukkah movie is actually related to actually the movie we're going to be talking about, I'm glad there is not a lot of Hanukkah movies. But I'm digress. Let's talk about what movie were you in.
Okay, so you're about to have the whole, you're about to upset the entire Jewish community. Look, I'm just a bystander.
It's a movie, sir. It's not the holidays.
I'm just a bystander. Okay, so he cancel him.
Can cancel me if you want. It's fine.
Okay, so we're talking about the 2002 Adam Sandler movie called 8 Crazy Nights, which I think he got nominated for 2 Razzies for Worst Actor, and
mm-hmm.
The film made, I think, around 20 million in box office, but the budget for it was 38. So, and it also has been called by Rotten Tomatoes as being completely nauseous and horrible all around. So,
okay, with that, $38 million. Where the fuck did they put that $38 million?
Well, I guess animating takes a lot of money. Oh, no. And this is actually Happy Gilmore's first animated film, which is Adam Sandler's company. So,
yeah.
So, with
come on,
all,
give me that dreaded with, question.
With all that leading in, David, how do you feel about this movie?
Okay, for a comedy, I haven't laughed once. That's one thing. I love animation. I'm very good public. Adam Sandler's an hit and miss for me. I actually love Little Nicky, but some of the movie is made kind of new. But you know, I tried to watch it. I tried to see the humor of it, but no. Like someone said on IMDb, eight wasted dollars. it was an interesting watch, but I know I sent you a message telling you basically what the fuck, the main character is so fucking annoying and unlikable all around, and I'm sorry, but I didn't actually see him less unlikable at the end. It was just anyway.
Well, I mean,
what about you?
As saying, the first time I saw this movie, I was 12, and now I'm 33, the same age that he is in the movie. I can't say that I find the portrayal of a 33-year-old on the holidays to be that inaccurate.
Okay. I'm worried now.
Oh, okay. But yeah, so I saw this movie when I was a kid, and of course, as a kid, like most Americans over here, when Adam Sandler was coming into popularity, for you, you were already like, you know, I think you're like 10 years older than me, but you were like in your 20s, right? So for me, it was full of like 12-year-old jokes, you know, things we laughed at. Nowadays, those things are super problematic. After watching this, I was like,
shit.
After watching this, I was just like, oh my god.
This is exactly what issue I have with a lot of Adam Sandler's movie, is that the joke is actually a very nasty joke on communities, either the
Chinese, oh yeah, but
the fat people, the gay people,
yes,
the
but as I was saying, as a kid, those things are what kids joke about, you know, because they don't fucking know any better. But so I feel like this movie, the humor is definitely more to the kids that like to say like the N-word in VR chat, you know what I mean?
Oh, this one's like, okay. No. The brush people.
I feel like that's the demographic here. Cause
the brush people.
Because I have not seen this movie in... Oh, my God. I know I've seen it since I've been an adult, but I think I was maybe in my 20s, maybe? Uh-huh. And so, rewatching it now... Yeah, I can definitely see why they called it noxious experience. But for me, I still enjoy some of the songs. I'm not sorry about it.
The song, yeah, I will say some of the songs are fun. Technical Foul is a cool sound. It's a very cool song.
Yeah, and by the way, I guess I should have said this is a comedy / musical.
But so Adam Sandler seems to be doing several voices, and all of his voices are pretty much annoying. It's very simple. You watch the movie, if a character is annoying, oh, guess what? It's Adam Sandler's voicing it. So yeah, pretty much.
Well, you can feel good about that because he actually got nominated twice, as I said earlier, for worst voice actor in a movie.
And what makes me laugh is actually thinking about it now, that entire song Technical Foul is actually him singing the three voices.
That's a technical foul.
Okay, so what's the story about then?
Well, the story is about we meet Davey over here, who is very disgruntled with the holiday season. So basically, and this is from Wikipedia, in December 2002, in the small fictional town of Dukesbury, New Hampshire, Davy Stone is a 33-year-old Jewish alcoholic troublemaker with a long criminal record, whose antics have long earned him the community's animosity. Davy is arrested for refusing to pay his bill at Mr. Chang's. That's problematic already. Mm-hmm. Attempting to evade arrest, Davy's song, stealing a snowbill, and destroying a festive eye sculpture in the process. At Davy's trial, Whitey Duvall, a 69-year-old volunteer referee from Davy's former basketball league, intervenes, and he suggests that Davy comes to volunteer to stop him from serving a 10-year prison sentence. Now,
Yeah, as you see, basically, he would have been a black man. He would have served in the 10 years prison sentence, because no way a basketball referee would have been able to swear the judge. Let's be honest.
I mean, in a small town, USA, you'd be surprised.
No,
yes, yes, you'd be very surprised. For those of you that live in very small towns, you know what I'm talking about, because the judge and the football coach and the dance instructor, whatever, they all go out and eat at the same restaurant, and they will go to the same stores, and oh my god.
That sounds like a setup for a porn movie.
We call that the good old boy network here.
Okay, this is a porn movie. Okay, I got that.
But yeah, I mean, not even joking, the way that these people who went to high school together never leave their town, and they all have these big positions, they're still able to sway other people, and it's crazy to me. But I mean, because the whole town knows who he is at this point. They all hate him because...
This is what I didn't understand.
He's
this
annoying is actually, as fuck.
Let's be honest. This is what I didn't understand. The guy is completely drunk. He just had a dragon, whatever the stuff is, with that awfully problematic depiction of a Chinese person. At the beginning of the movie, just start with that. Just let's go with that to start with. And he escaped the police, but the police know who he is.
Yes,
what
they
the
did.
Fuck would you escape? They know where you live.
Yeah, I mean, but how else was he supposed to sing his song?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
and so apparently, yeah. Which I didn't know because I wasn't listening. I mean, this was in 2002. I wasn't going to LimeWire downloading Adam Sandler songs, but apparently Adam Sandler made a whole Hanukkah CD, and some of these songs were from his CD, which...
Oh my God.
No idea this existed.
No, thank God. No, did you want to know that? We need to burn it. Kill it with fire.
Oh,
as you see, dear viewer, I am not a fan of Adam Sandler's. Sorry.
Can we talk about Whitey? Whitey Duvall.
Already, just call him Whitey.
Whitey Duvall was probably the one thing that I remember the most about this movie. Like, I didn't really remember Adam Sandler's character. I just remember Whitey singing Technical Foul, because it's something I say all the fucking time, and it's just been ingrained. Like, I just say, it's a Technical Foul, you know? So I was excited to see Whitey again, but Adam
Sandler, well, I sent you a message telling you, is that what does it remind me of Mr. Magoo? Because the design was, it reminded me of Mr. Magoo so much.
Oh, and you know, apparently Adam Sandler said that he based some of these people on his family members, so I would hate to be at that family.
Really? Okay.
But that's the thing Adam Sandler does. Adam Sandler bases a lot of his movies or with his family members, and he also, for whatever reason, brings in the same people. I guess, hey, no new friends, but he always has the same people. When you see how chromatic
he's becoming, yeah, no wonder you got no friends.
He always brings in the same people. Now, Rob Schneider.
Oh, there's a truck.
Now, Rob Schneider was in this movie too. He was one of the voices, and him and Rob Schneider are in like everything, you know. Mm-hmm. He makes a cameo in Rob Schneider's movies, vice versa. For those of you that have watched, what was that Adam Sandler movie where he becomes like, no, that's Rob Schneider's movie, he becomes like the animal guy, he can talk to animals or whatever, he becomes like No, he like becomes like an animal. Like, he has these animal urges.
What?
It's a crazy movie. Okay. It sounds like a stoner trap. No, Rob Schneider played this guy who, oh my God, I can't think of the name of the movie. Anyway,
he's called a doctor.
He starts acting like animals, and Adam Sandler is in that movie. And then, and I think in Happy Gilmore, Rob Schneider is there. He's like the one, you can do it. So they're always in each other's movies. And Rob Schneider is also problematic these days, too. So
This is actually the problem, actually. I couldn't really enjoy the movie because I was just saying this. Okay, this is problematic.
Okay, is sir. Problematic. You literally... Some of the movies you've had me watch, come on.
No.
Problematic, to say the least.
It's 2002, sir. What the fuck?
Okay, as someone that was growing up during 2002, trust me. Oh my God. That's probably why I'm so thick-skinned now, because God damn, those people in 2002 were fucking vicious.
I think that's my problem with a lot of Adam Sandler's movie, is actually the humor is actually really taking the piss, taking a Mickey, let's go British, taking the piss out of minorities.
Yes,
which and I mean that's not something.
But technically, he is a minority. He's Jewish.
A minority in America? I don't think so.
I mean, technically, yeah. I mean,
not in Hollywood.
Have you not seen all the, you know, the anti-Jewish stuff here as of late? It's pretty big news right now.
No, because I'm actually living in Europe. We don't hear about that. The only thing I heard is actually the Game of War, where that guy just started to talk about the Reformed Jewish preacher, Bill Clinton. I didn't get that, but apparently it's a big scandal now. So
okay. Okay, but yeah, so basically Adam Sandler made this movie because he said there was no Hanukkah movies, and he probably shouldn't have made this, let's be honest.
The problem is a Christmas movie is supposed to be all nice and actually like a really like feel good, and three quarter of the movie is really terrible.
Yeah, but he's not, but it's not a Christmas movie.
No, man, I mean it's just like a holiday movie, and I'm supposed to. Yeah, just like.
So let's talk about some things that worked for you with this movie. Can you find anything that worked for you?
The songs were fun.
Yeah.
I didn't actually. You were saying to me, "Oh, there is actually the character is going to change and everything else." I didn't really see that change done properly. It came like from being an asshole to changing into a good guy. There was no progression, I felt, about it. The entire letter actually never opened was weird. So it was weird.
Oh, and I guess before we go to what works for me, I'm not going to leave you guys hanging. I found the Rob Schneider movie. It is called The Animal. I see, I'm not crazy.
Oh my God, I need to
And
check this
it
out.
says that Marvin is a man who doesn't have what it takes to fulfill his lifelong dream to be a cop, but his luck changes when he's critically injured in a car accident and a deranged scientist secretly uses animal organs to rebuild him. Energized by his new parts, Marvin leaves the weakness behind and becomes the top predator.
Okay, thank you very much for that information. This is a movie I'm gonna not watch. So.
Oh yeah,
Only, oh.
I still remember the end of that movie where he like humps the girl and they have like 13 kids. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This was a 2001 movie. See, I'm telling you, that's
So, what did work in that movie for you?
those songs. Whitey Duvall. I love Whitey. Sorry.
He's a sad character, Wordy. I'm sorry, but he's a sad character.
I do like Whitey, and I like the songs. I like the animation too, because some of the people that worked on the animation also worked on the Iron Giant, which is one of my all-time favorite movies. Fucking love the Iron Giant. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I think the movie could have been good if Adam Sanders didn't actually wrote it.
Yes, because Adam Sandler writes his. I've seen one of his newer movies where he's all into dramatics now, and I mean it's not that bad. He's okay when he steers away from acting like a 9-year-old.
What I would have wanted to see, I'm going to be honest with you, I would have wanted to see that movie, but instead of Adam Sandler to have Robin Williams.
Okay.
That would have been interesting, because the type of humor would have been so different. Because my problem, my problem is that actually the humor, like when he start to actually have a go at these fat kids, and I'm just
Yes.
thinking, come on, man, just
Yes,
like.
he does have to go at the fat kid, and then I think the fat kid's father burns his house down.
But the fat kid, you find this fat kid in a mall just trying bras afterwards, and you're just like, come on.
Yeah, and oh, we can't forget about the transphobia over here. Remember
Oh yes.
the one where they were singing, and that was long ago. And then he's like, my wife was once a he, and that was long ago. I was like, so problematic.
I know. Oh, there's a lot of stuff which is, I don't, for me, it didn't work. It just didn't work for me. It's just the song were fun, but I found the main character so disgusting, so awful to people. But
Yes.
you know, like you've
I mean,
got
he was horrible to Whitey during like the entire movie.
Exactly. You see Bill Murray, is it Bill Murray? Bill Murray is actually very good at creating a very bad character, very awful characters to people. You can see in a lot of movies like Groundhog Day and stuff like this. It can be an awful character. But he's awful without being nasty like he is. Like Adam Sandler in this movie is. I've got so much problem with actually, and I love him in Little Nicky, but in this movie he's just using like his humor is actually just putting down minorities. I'm just like, come on,
Yeah.
can do better than that.
And the thing is, you guys, I was going to maybe let David watch A Christmas Story because, in America that is like a tradition. But I was like, why not think outside the box? Why not put him through something finally?
And you have, sir. I was glad it was only 1 hour and 16 minutes.
Yeah, I know. So look at that. But all right, I hope you're sitting down for this. But do you know what the average audience rating for this is?
No.
Just take a guess.
Or?
No, the audience score rated a B plus from a
What?
scale to A to F. The audience rated it a B plus.
Okay, let's be honest. I don't want to shit on America, but you basically love your very problematic jokes on minorities. So
Sir,
maybe that's
you
why.
literally had me watch a show where she jumped out in blackface.
Which one was that?
Like, don't even go there with
Which
me.
one was that? Which one was that?
Oh my God. See, this is why Europeans, let's not. Okay, but
No, I don't understand why it would be a B plus because he
because
was.
apparently a lot of people liked it. I was reading the reviews, and the average person seems to enjoy it. I mean, they're just like, it was funny. It was funny. I liked it. And that's pretty much it. Rotten Tomatoes, I think, gave it like a 22%.
Okay.
So critics hated it. Audience apparently liked it.
So 3 out of 10. The whole thing is a technical foul. Let's go. I can't even say 8 decent jokes. Four out of ten. 4 out of 10. Don't waste your time and money in this. 1 out of 10. I must say the title of the critics on the IMDb for that movie are pretty hilarious. 8 wasted dollars. Out of tune. Sandler's Night Stinks.
Yeah. And it but thinking back in that time period, that's a lot of the humor. Like when I think about things like the Scary Movie, Scary Movie has some very problematic, jokes, but Anna Faris and oh, and the cast, they just make it work. But Adam Sandler here, he couldn't
No.
He just decided to be awful. I think he wanted to be just be as awful as he could be. And that was kind of his joke because he's like, I own my own company, so fuck you.
That's pretty much, I think that's what it is. But But Adam Sandler will always be problematic to me, so.
I'm not gonna defend Adam Sandler here, so. But as a kid, I did like his shit, and now like as an adult, I see how problematic it is, and I'm just like, I need 12-year-old me to do better.
It's funny because I was actually watching early on. I was watching that documentary about what people were doing in 2000, the 90s, like in France, and they were talking about what they call the innocent racism, which was pretty interesting. What the guy was saying, just like people were just doing such racist stuff, and they were just finding it normal on TV, like the blackface and stuff like that. It was just normal thing. And today, you're just watching this stuff, and you're just like, oh my God, really? They've done this. And it was that for everything, for gay people, for transsexual, for everything. We were basically treated like actually the butt of the joke for everything. And
I
that was the
know.
early 90s.
Mister over here is telling me about we Americans love our problematic jokes. Meanwhile, he's over there watching shows where the taxi driver is like this this hairy Man,
oh, that's this show is supposed to be problematic. That's what they've done.
Okay, sir. Same concept. Why is it that you can't seem to grasp the concepts are the same, but because for whatever,
because their jokes are funnier than Adam Sandler's ones.
Do you guys see here the dodging?
Okay, just for people who don't know, we are talking about this British show which is called The League of Extraordinary, The League of Gentlemen, which is a show from late 90s.
I'm pretty sure those of you that heard British show, you're probably like, oh my god.
So late 90s show that actually that's about a town called Weston Vasey, and a very, very problematic characters. Personally, I love that show. the jokes are pretty funny.
Yeah, and it's problematic as fuck.
But you haven't seen season 2 when actually you got a black-faced clown.
Okay, guys, those of you keeping notes, I need you to rewind. My point has been made. Moving on.
No, but the thing is, with League of Gentlemen, the jokes are actually set up in a way that actually don't make fun of minorities, but make fun of the people making fun of minorities. Mm. And that's actually a very important thing to understand about League of Gentlemen.
This seems to be a very vague way of saying...
You need fun funny. You find it funny, sir. You enjoy that movie. You enjoy that show.
And I enjoy some Adam Sandler's movie that was problematic. So I don't... And my whole thing is the double standards here. You can't be holier than thou because it's European. And then when an American does it, it's, oh, you Americans, you're so dumb. You love the most problematic shit. You like the same shit. Like, oh, what my the God. Fuck?
Oh my God. I just said Adam Sandler is not funny.
Just not Adam Sandler in general. Like, we poke fun of ourselves all the time, and then you guys take it out of context, and you think all Americans think like this. We're literally making fun of the people that think like that, and you guys take it at face value. I don't. The double standards. It's the double standards for me.
Ooh. Hmm. Oh, look at this, a drama. We got to Christmas drama.
I gotta drink my water.
So now, you're witnessing a Christmas drama.
It was technically a Hanukkah drama.
That's true.
Anyways, moving forward. So, what in this movie, I guess, stood out for you?
The animation was good. I really enjoyed the animation. Stand out to me, product placement. My God, the amount of product placement in that show in 1 hour and 16 minutes. And I was reading about it a bit, and apparently none of the company got the right to actually put a product placement in, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, I feel like, to me, that sounds like we did, but we were hoping it would be more successful.
True. It could be.
And, well, for me, what didn't work for this movie is literally Adam Sandler's character. There are some of the other characters that were okay, you know. But, Adam Sandler being Adam Sandler, there you have it. If you've seen those late 2000s, early 2000s Adam Sandler movies, you know what I'm talking about. It's just him being Adam Sandler.
He's playing himself, indeed, yes.
Maybe a parody of himself to a point, I guess I would say. But
I don't know.
Hey. I I still genuinely like the songs. They slap for me. So that's really the only thing positive I have to say.
Yeah.
That's it. Do you have anything else to add to?
No, I think I can give you my my final score.
Okay.
My crystals are, I would say, 3 because the song and the animation.
Oh, well, you're so generous. I'm going to give it a 1, my lowest rating ever. And it only gets a 1 because I like the songs and Whitey. So.
Okay.
I was about to give it a negative 1.
For me, I give it 3 because I found the animation pretty good.
You know what? Because of the animation, and I don't want to hate on the people from the Iron Giant, I'm going to bump it up to a 2.
Oh, well done. There you go. We actually agree with something. That's good.
Okay, well, is there anything else you want to say, David?
No. But we still like each other, despite the fact we argue about things sometimes, just to let you know, guys.
What? Who's arguing? I thought this was just a good European discourse. Isn't this what you guys do in France?
Okay. Mm. You don't know what we're doing in France, do you? If we look at actually what American believe we do in France, it's funny as well.
I just thought you guys just sit around and ate croissants.
We do on a Tuesday.
Do you also go out in your town like Belle from Beauty and the Beast and say, "Little town"?
Yes, I'm actually wearing some garlic, some garlic necklaces.
I mean, I don't know what other people would think that French people do. I mean, I'm thinking and I'm just like, what comes to mind? Not like I'm drawing a blank here. Like maybe, I don't know, like you go outside in like a trench coat and walk around smoking a cigarette. Is that
pretty much? Well, we always argue and we say baguette. We. Remember the 2 days in Paris and 2 days in New York? I made you swatch.
Yes,
pretty much thing.
I do. I think 2 nights. Was it 2 nights in New York? A week in New York or whatever?
With Chris Rock.
Yeah, I feel like that was the weaker one for me, but I like them both.
2 days in Paris was fun.
Mm-hmm.
We are not arguing. We're just talking.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
So that was we just offered you this holiday special. As you see, like in real life, we had a little bit of eating arguments in front of the turkey.
What? Nobody's arguing.
I'm trying to be festive, so they don't need to know. We actually we're still early December. We have a turkey in front of us, but. We can pretend.
Okay, first of all, I have a duck, so...
Ooh, fancy. We're having ostrich.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like ostriches... When I play No Man's Sky, I'm always worried that there's going to be a variation of an ostrich, and it's going to be, like, gigantic, and it's going to, like, kill me with its 18 talons.
But it's goddamn nice. Very tasty as a food. Okay, anyway, so I think we better wrap it up for this holiday special.
Well, maybe, you know what? Maybe we need to come up with a New Year's movie too. Are there any New Year's movies you want to talk about?
Oh, I need to think about it. I don't know. Hey, I've got one, Strange Days.
I'm drawing a blank.
What is it? I think if we're doing a holiday special, it's going to be Strange Days for me.
Is it a French movie?
It's an American movie by Kathryn Bigelow, and it's about it's a cyberpunk movie about people recording their experience on little disc to actually sell to the black market.
Didn't I watch that? No, I
You
watched
might
that.
have.
No, I watched the French movie where I thought it was similar, but no,
Oh,
now I
you
think
watched
about
Nirvana with me, yes.
it.
Great movie too, actually. That would be actually that's a Christmas movie, actually.
I feel like you just came out of pocket with that,
It
but
is because it happened during Christmas when they have to delete the this game that have a virus in it that make the character have a soul before Christmas Day when the computer game would be released to the public. So it's a
If
Christmas movie.
you say so. All right. See you guys.
See you again next time and have a great holidays. Bye bye.